welcome to Check It Out Comrade, an indie game podcast where every 2 weeks we bring you two indie games and tell you what we like about them. I'm Nick Lauber.
I'm Gary Butterfield.
And this week we're talking about Dark Mouse and Firewatch.
Yeah, we're going to start with Dark Mouse, as people who play them probably know, primarily because we tend to do story-focused stuff second.
Yeah.
And there might be some story stuff that happens at the end of Dark Mouse that would be considered a story spoiler, but I didn't get to it.
Yeah, I didn't get super far in this game either, but it's worth talking about anyway. Especially since there's some cool things about the fact that this game was developed by a single man, Daniel Wright. It was released for Windows on Steam January 26th of this year, so very recently. And primarily is a top-down Dark Souls-aimed game where you play as a mouse instead of a knight.
Yeah, this is very explicitly a Souls game.
Yeah.
The mouse part is a major difference. Overhead is probably the biggest difference.
Yeah,
but it is down to many features that you associate. So the same kind of rhythm to the combat as far as blocking and attacking, the concentration on stamina
management.
And then the a lot of even the weapons and stuff, the spells you get are pyromancies. There's an invasion mechanic. There's kind of a substitute for co-op or teaming up that shows up. So there's a lot of kind of elements. It is not hiding that influence.
Right.
So tell me what you like about Dark Mouse.
The core mechanics of it, as you said, they're definitely very true to Dark Souls. If you're looking for something more Dark Souls-y stuff because you've run out, as a lot of Duckfeed people have, this is a cool thing to take a look at. I actually wasn't huge into it though. It really didn't grab me very much. I probably put maybe an hour and a half in it in general, but I didn't even really get to any of the storyline stuff. I feel like it doesn't really have a very strong start. Beyond the simple tutorial stuff at the beginning, it still takes a while before it ramps into any story-based stuff or running into NPCs or anything. So, yeah, I actually didn't play as much as I wanted to, but most of that was just it doesn't seem to be grabbing me in the way I thought it would.
Yeah, you're not. So, what other than just the fact that they don't introduce story stuff, what didn't you dig about it?
It's not very crunchy. The combat feels really limp. I'm not sure that's just me, but it's very hard. Healing items are really limited, and just combat doesn't feel as good as Dark Souls does. Like, I feel really well rewarded when I am doing combat in Dark Souls, and there's a lot of kind of meat to just how it plays out. This still takes the same sort of elements of your blocking and dodging and stamina management and pattern learning, but for some reason the feel of it is not right for me.
This, I think probably what you're picking up on is like kinesthetic kind of part of it.
Yeah.
The sounds and lights and the kind of feedback when you're hitting things. Because I would agree with that. Like, I think that swinging a weapon and hitting somebody in the game is not as satisfying. It's also, it's hard to say that there's a problem with hitboxes because I don't think that's it. But it is, I think a lot of it comes down to just the overhead angle of it.
Could be, yeah.
Where it's hard to, positioning yourself in space is harder than I want it to be.
Yeah.
In relation to an enemy, and because it is this kind of this art style, which I don't hate, but it's much softer, than Dark Souls. Everything kind of moves in this, so it's not floaty; it's too fluid. Everything moves in a flash kind of way. It doesn't seem like anything has joints. So the way that things move are in these circles. Everything is in this kind of sweep, and that is really hard to position yourself in a way that makes sense, because you're not telling the difference between being at a 90, a 45 degree or 0 degree angle from somebody. You're trying to get the difference between a 37 and a 58 degree angle, and that can make the difference. I think that's maybe part of it. I don't disagree with you. I think maybe I liked it a little bit more, but it is, it doesn't feel as good as I wanted it to.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, when you talked about it being hard, it's too hard. It's not, and that's, I'm really good at Dark Souls. I like hard games.
I'm glad that wasn't just me.
Yeah, it is too hard. It is, and something that happens in Dark Souls, my biggest kind of beef with it is that in Dark Souls, at some point, there's always a point in an area where I get, I get through it and I go through painstaking enemy by enemy, and I get there and I die at the end. And there's always a point where I've lost everything I've given up hope and I'm like, okay, I just need to get to the next bonfire or see something. What do I do to get past this without going step by step? The game punishes that because you lose your souls. But if I have nothing left to lose, that always happens. Like I get to that point, I'm like, maybe I need to come back here later. Maybe I need to see something that is showing me that I'm barking up the wrong tree. Mm-hmm. You can't do that in Dark Mouse. You move too slow. Enemies move too fast. They pursue you forever. You could never, the same way that like right now, if you put Dark Souls 1 in my hands, I could get through the parish and I could even like, you know, kill every enemy in, really quickly. I can get through the parish really quickly. That never happened for me with Dark Mouse, even with the early areas.
Yeah.
I don't think you could ever like get through this game quickly. I think every enemy is kind of designed to be a little bit too punishing to not direct assault.
So I said that there's like pattern learning, but there isn't really like animation learning. Like there isn't in Dark Souls, every sort of attack has its real obvious tells.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same way, I haven't played Dark Souls in a bit, but I mean, I'm absolutely positive I can make it through the parish like super easy just because I can tell how every attack is going to be coming at me. And, you know, okay, as soon as I start to see these few frames of this animation, I can roll to this side and get that guy for a free attack. It's locked in my brain. Like that'll be there forever. And there's nothing to lock me in this game.
I think there are tells, like I was fighting, the bull enemies, mm-hmm. that you run into and there are tells to them. They're just harder to read and I'm too slow. Like even once I get the dodge roll, like I can't dodge behind them. You mm-hmm. know, I can dodge a little bit to their front and then they just turn. They just rotate perfectly on their Z axis to turn towards me. Like everything's just tuned a little too aggressively. It just needs that kind of fine tuning. There's no Estus in this game. Having the healing items is really punishing as well, because you're reluctant to use them if you're just going to die anyway.
Yeah.
There's no reason why they shouldn't have just stolen the Estus system.
I think you can farm for the healing items, but like you've never had to farm for shit in Dark Souls unless you wanted some weapon that was a rare drop.
And you have to in Bloodborne, and that's a big mistake.
Is it? Yeah. See, I never got to play that one yet.
Farming is not, should never be encouraged or allowed.
It's one of the best things about Dark Souls is that you can beat it, you know, SL1 with no problem if you know what you're doing.
I couldn't imagine in a million years being able to do that with this, just because you can't escape encounters and every encounter is just going to be this very like kind of, this back and forth, which I ended up like, I had fun the first time. Like mm-hmm. I fought something. I'm like, oh, how do I get through this room? Like this is, you know, the individual like duels I think are kind of fun.
Right.
And then I fought a boss. I fought a giant bird, which is the only boss I managed to run into. And it was actually kind of like a fun boss fight. It wasn't like that same kind of like perfect fun that Dark Souls can be where I'm like, oh, I'm dodging every attack because my body knows it before my brain does.
I am a god.
Yeah, exactly. It didn't have that, but it was still like kind of fun and interesting. But then, you know, getting to the areas where the difficulty ramps up, like it introduces an Anor Londo Sense Fortress kind of interior castle, mm-hmm. with a lot of huge density of enemies really quickly. In the game, when you say you didn't get any story stuff, I think I got a little bit further in the story. Like you meet a character, she sends you to go save her father and they talk about the curse that's over the land, and I go into the castle to do that, and like just making the progress between bonfires is just and there's no bonfire warping, so you know, Dark Souls 2 has a concentration on difficult individual encounters, right? Like an enemy concentration Dark Souls 2 is higher than Dark Souls 1. And the reason that they can do that is because you only have to get through it once and then you can always warp between bonfires. There's mm-hmm. no warping in this. So if you get to a branching path and there's left and right and they both are reasonable areas to explore, you go down to the right, you get through these really, really tough encounters. And you end up getting the treasure at the end, or you just want to see what's to the left. You just had to fight your way back every time.
Yeah.
And it became just immensely tedious to me. Just slowly doing that I know that's, it sounds like we're describing Dark Souls, but Dark Souls only seems like that's what's going on. I think, you know, eventually like, yes, you get punished for just kind of running through areas in Dark Souls and you can lose your souls, but it's at least an option. The couple times I tried to just run through this because I didn't give a shit, it didn't work. And not every enemy drops souls. It's also an item that you drop. You don't get experience for everything you kill, so there's no way mm-hmm. to like reliably hang out in an area and get more powerful,
right?
You know, or if you do, it seems random to me. And then you're farming. It's not like, hey, it's worth going through this over and over and over because every time I get my souls, every time I get a little bit more powerful. So when I actually get to the bonfire, I'm going to gain like 10 levels and not have to deal with this.
Right, yeah, even if the, you know, the failure is I keep not making it to the bonfire, I don't get to the next save point, you're still making player progress.
Yeah. And the way they try to mitigate that, I think, is that they have the system, which I think is actually pretty cool, which is that they this ghost system, where you get an item eventually that lets you, when you die, you get a little co-op buddy. And every time you die, you get another co-op buddy, and they help you out. They're not super powerful, but they're not bad. And I think that's kind of a cool idea, like this player-adjusted difficulty. Like, if you die on something, you're going to get help. It's gonna help you with the part you died. Pretty into that. But what ended up happening was just like they always were with me because I was in a really hard part that I don't think was too soon for me. I don't think I was sequence breaking. I think that it was just like, this is super hard. I'm always gonna have these guys. It's balanced to have these guys, but it was supposed to be like a bonus or something you don't rely on that often.
Right. You assume it should help make things easier, and if it's not making things easier, then...
Or if it's necessary. It's like making things possible.
Yeah, that's not... You know, and that, I don't just, think that was their intent.
It was not very satisfying. So it's like, it's frustrating because it's close to being good. A lot of it is like not stuff. I don't feel like terrible about having played it, but it's not what I wanted, and it's hard for me to say, like, I'd recommend it.
Yeah, I don't think it's bad, but I mean, it's kind of riding its whole reputation on being 2D Dark Souls.
Yeah, and we got a bunch of those coming out. Like, we, you know, that's a thing now. But I hope that I hope the other ones are a little bit more polished than this. Like, it's not even, I don't even want, like, it's like, oh, I wish it had its own identity and it wasn't like Dark Souls. It's not even that. Like, I'm into the fact that it's like Dark Souls. I just wish that it was a little bit of a better knockoff of Dark Souls.
Yeah, I think if judging it purely on its own merits and not, it, you know, if Dark Souls had never come out and this had, which obviously would never happen, but if it had, like, I would probably still be just stuck on it being too hard, if nothing else. Like, I would be like, you know, the difficulty is too hard for me, and there's not enough to push me through that. So, otherwise, I mean, I think the art style is cool. I think, you know, in general, the game is not bad. It's just there's a lot of little tweaks here and there that are not quite what I'm looking for and haven't managed to grab
me. And when you talk about that, you know, they're not being the story stuff to grab you, like, that is true. Like, that's not the most important part of Dark Souls, but like having those little evocative phrases and stuff and having that little intro movie does help. You know, it contextualizes what you're doing, where it's like, it's the whole thing is kind of featureless in every respect. So like the story is featureless, like, and there's not very much text or narration. And then the land is featureless as well. So like, you have a map, but a game being based on navigation when there are so few landmarks, I think, is a mistake. Yeah. And this is like the winter where I realized that really bothered me because of a lot of games we're doing on Watch Out for Fireballs and stuff. But if you want me to navigate, if a game is about navigation, like, you really have to have like landmarks and stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
It can't just be like the way that this room, this T intersection might be a little bit different than that T intersection. You know, and with that, it doesn't do that very well. It's still like way impressive. Like, one dude made this, and that's really cool.
Absolutely.
Like, I would be super interested to see him do a second one. I would be super interested to see him patch this one. I would be super interested to see if he made a totally different game. But this, I can't call like necessarily a success. Like, I didn't love it. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. It's okay.
Okay.
So let's move on to Firewatch. And you and I haven't talked about this at all, so I'm interested to see what our collective opinion is. So Firewatch is it's a first person adventure game listed by Wikipedia, but basically it's a walking simulator, story based first person game. Released by Campo Santo. This is their first game they put out, but they are made up primarily of former Telltale people, and the lead designer is from Mark of the Ninja and Chris Remo, formerly of Double Fine, did the score. So it's kind of a pretty big star-studded cast of indie developers.
Yeah, the art is by Ali Amas, who's a guy who does posters, and Jane Eng, who is also kind of renowned for that visual style. It's a lot of people who are on Idle Thumbs as well, like most of the Idle Thumbs crew.
Yeah, with Remo included in there. So,
I mean, Jake and Sean are both on that podcast as well.
Awesome. So this was released on February 9th, 2016, pretty quick turnaround for us. And it's on all three, PC OSs as well as PS4.
And, was really, this is one of the most anticipated games I remember seeing as far as indie games. Like, this was the year in the early 2016 when this and The Witness came out, and both of those games were really, anticipated.
Yeah. Indie darlings, basically. And I think we might have actually mentioned this one in our end of year. Yeah,
something,
look forward,
yeah, something
so.
To watch. Yeah, it is. So I have a. I also think this is okay.
I quite liked it up until the ending, basically, which we'll talk about more in the spoiler
section.
The
ending,
but...
I think this game doesn't pay off up until that. Maybe I like it up until that point too. I just I don't. It feels like it's going up to something that never happens, and that bums me
correct.
Out. But just let's in the first part, we'll talk about good, like what's cool about this, because that's what we do.
Absolutely.
I like how orange it is. Like, I'm way into how, like, the color palette is beautiful. Like, it is a beautiful looking game.
The aesthetic of this game is really good. It is very, very pretty.
Well, the one thing I don't like, I'm pretty mixed on the weird Team Fortress people models.
Really? I thought that in general, the art style, like, it manages to kind of catch a good middle ground between sort of realism and cell shaded type
of
look.
Yeah, I don't know if I like the way the guy's face is drawn, and like, he's really the only person you see. Like, you don't really see anybody else other than the main character, but like, looking at like his big huge like ridiculous ham hands and stuff, I don't know if I liked that. I like the way that all of the nature looks, though, and the game leans into that because in two ways. Like, one, it's about, like, if there's a mechanic to this game, which there is, it's not like purely a walking simulator like Dear Esther, where you kind of walk in a line. Navigation is the gameplay navigation and dialogue, I guess. But the they lean in because since it is a game about being in the woods, like, they need to make the woods really beautiful to explore, and they do that really great. And then there's an in-game camera they give you because they know that it's beautiful and they want to take pictures, which you can then develop in real life, which is awesome.
That is pretty cool. And speaking of navigation, I think this is kind of a real perfect idea of how to do a outdoor level design. Like, this thing is all like one big map, and there are kind of set paths through everything, but like right away I was recognizing landmarks and able to to navigate without having to rely on the map constantly, and just everything is real well done in that you don't feel like you're locked down to paths, even though you know they're there. Like, you played a game, you know what's going on, but for the most part, like, everything feels real open, and like, you're going where you want to go by your own means. There's multiple routes to get to everything, and everything just feels real clean. The level design in this game I think is really stellar.
Yeah, it's a real nice counterpart to what I had said in the last game, where that is about, you know, navigating, and that's hard to do in that game, because there's nothing that you can see. In this game, it is very easy to get around, you know, so it relies on that kind of being able to see your way around, because if you want to, and the kind of the best practices way to experience this game, I didn't do this because I was playing on a deadline, but this is if you're going to play this game, is to turn off the map markers, because you can actually navigate just using a map and compass pretty well in the game. Like, it does a really good job of that. Because this ridge does look like that ridge, you know, the ridge on your map.
Yeah.
And that's excellent. Like, they did a great job of that.
They did a really good job of that. In fact, like, so basically the second day in the game, this game is kind of is marked by days, but it's not linear. You skip a lot of days throughout and in between. But the second day is right at, you know, essentially right at the start, and is one of the longer days because you're kind of navigating all around the map. And it's really obviously designed to like get you familiar with all the locations, even though it feels like this map is huge. And it does take a while to do this first walk on this day. After that first day, you're like, oh, damn, I recognize everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did a great job of that. And that plays into the theme and this idea of like just kind of being abandoned out here and being able to have all that stuff. The other thing that I think it does really well is it's a counterpoint to like when I'm watching out Fireballs, where we did 999, which is a game I think is well plotted but poorly written. I think this game is very well written but poorly plotted. For reasons we'll talk about in the second half, but like,
the
actual dialogue and voice acting is really good. The characters you spend all this time with, because the principal thing you're doing other than navigating is talking to another person who's on Firewatch, and the game is the game I wanted to play was about their relationship between those two people,
right?
Just because they are really easily charming and come across very naturally.
Absolutely. And I think another thing this game does brilliantly is sort of the interactive fiction intro that starts you off. It starts off with kind of you doing this multiple choice, essentially story about you and your wife. And, you know, it's right at the beginning, so I don't think this is too spoilery, but her fall into dementia essentially at an early age. Yeah. And so that sort of sets the plot for you kind of taking this escape trip for a summer, becoming one, you know, a fire watch in this forest. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that really builds a great core for the story between the two characters. It feels super well done. Like, obviously, all of your answers in there, it doesn't matter what you put in there to build you into the rest of the story, but it is really well written and feels really good. And the story that they're introducing you to is really good.
I mean, it doesn't matter, but it's role playing. So that's why it's, you know, because you choose which version of Henry you want to take into the Firewatch.
Exactly.
And then when you get a chance to kind of iterate and build on that as you respond to Delilah, the other character.
Absolutely.
So it gives you this sense to define who you want to play in like a strictly, you know, literal role playing sense, not a stat based one. And then you get a chance to actually articulate that. The same story beats are always going to happen. And that's like a criticism of walking simulators, which I don't agree with. Like the way it articulates, you know, The Walking Dead ends the same way, more or less. It's just there's my version, mm-hmm. you know, and then your version, you know, and that's fine. I'm happy to make my own version of that story.
Absolutely.
It does that really well. And you can tell that the people who wrote it had that pedigree where they can concentrate on, you know, they know that the important thing is just what you did as your own version. Same thing with Gone Home, where like Gone Home, you know, yes, the same information is there, but the mechanic of Gone Home or the play of Gone Home is how exploratory you are. And how much of the story you learn, like that's the act, is like, do you want to keep digging and doing this archaeology? It's this, you know, the same things are going to happen. That game is going to end the same way for everyone. But my version is the person who was curious enough to go into the basement and came to the same conclusions I did. The same way my version of Henry is the one that is, you know, doesn't blame himself, you know, for this and is okay, you know, doesn't feel guilt over this, or does feel guilt, but is trying to forgive himself, you know, versus the version that's downtrodden and hates himself, you know?
Right.
So that stuff's all really successful. But we'll get in the story section or the spoiler section. Like, I just wish the game leaned into it more. That beginning, the first like couple hours. So the game's about 4 hours long. It's for a 4 hour game. I think it's mildly expensive. You know, like $20 for very little, like I can't really imagine playing it again. You know, again, I'm always skeptical of dollars to hours ratios, but it's not for something with so few mechanics. Like, I don't know. I kind of wish that there was some branching our story points, maybe some points of story articulation would have helped. But it's those first like hour and a half before they kind of introduce the hook, I think are really strong. And then there's some stuff later that happens that's still strong, but like ultimately left a taste in my mouth, which we'll end up talking about. The first part is great. It's really pretty. The voice acting is very good. I'm glad that this exists, and I'm glad that games like it exist. And most people who don't like it, not everybody, but a lot of people who don't like it are asshole Gamergate conservative type. So much like Undertale, I find myself like disliking something, like keeping bad company. Like I dislike something that a lot of assholes dislike. For different reasons.
Well, and it's even hard for me to say that I dislike this. Like, I enjoyed the vast majority of the time I spent with it. So
I'm not going to go. I think that we're probably old like yin yangs. I think I probably like Mouse a little bit more than you did, and I think you probably like Firewatch a little bit more than I did. Neither of which are unmitigated disasters, but neither of which were what I wanted them to be, or even what I think they were trying to be, which is more important. Like, you don't you try not to judge art based on like whether it's what you want it to be. You try to judge it based on whether it's successful. And neither of these games I think are fully successful. So do we have any other Firewatch and things?
No, I think that's probably good. I think let's get into some admin stuff and we'll talk about sort of
the
storyline plots and our main disappointment with this game. So admin stuff. You can come check us out on social media at Comrade Podcast on Twitter or check it out Comrade on Facebook.
You can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv if you want to get episodes a day early and support the network. If you donate $2 or more, you can join our Slack channel, which is a super fun place to hang out. One cool thing about Slack channel is when people get extra games and Humble Bundles, they will exchange them there. So it's a good place to offload your extra keys and pick up some games. I'm excited about. There's a, you know, I got a game on there I want to talk to you about doing at some point.
Okay. If you have any game suggestions, you can hit us up on any of those points and also a contact form at duckfeed.tv/contact.
And then ratings, reviews, and telling your friend are the main things you can do to get people into the show.
Yeah, absolutely. We always appreciate that. So with that, there'll be a little ditty here, and then we'll talk about some more spoilery stuff about Firewatch.
For you, because I have the answer for me, but I'm curious. I can imagine the person who was, some people were not disappointed at all with what happens in Firewatch.
Mm-hmm.
For the person who is, I can imagine like two different kind of breaking points. So for you, was it the reveal of what the mystery was, or was it the gameplay shift when the mystery started happening?
I think just primarily the reveal. Essentially, I was hoping for, like, I felt that there was a cool sort of conspiracy growing that I was digging into, and then was sort of let down by the fact that it wasn't. And I understand, like, that's kind of what they were going for, in a sense. Like, this is a much more real, but
it's not.
I don't know. I think there's some.
Replace something that's like fantastical and unlikely with something that is boring and unlikely. Like, it is just as unlikely.
Yeah,
like, it is just as silly as what they were teasing at.
That's pretty much, I think, the core of my feelings about it is, I was really feeling like there was some cool shit going on, and then there wasn't.
I thought when they started hinting towards the weird shit, which we'll say what the weird shit is, but started hinting towards the weird shit, I understand, like, it's not like I needed it to be an X-Files episode. Like, I was like, right. Oh, it's going to be, I told them enough to think it wasn't going to be aliens. So mm-hmm. I'm happy it wasn't that. But one, the thing they replaced it with is ridiculous. Two, the emotional beats of what they replaced it with totally didn't work on me. Like, I didn't care. Three, it changed the story focus really far and doesn't, I can see what it's trying to do thematically, but did mm-hmm. not enrich my understanding or comment on either of the principal characters in an adequate way. So, like, I think that it is, the back half of this game is a failure. Like, I don't think it does anything it needs to do.
It's not even like the entire back half. It's like, to me, it's up to, I don't even know. Yeah. Up until like the start of the discovering the body and like digging through the cave and getting the cave key and stuff. Like, as soon as you get the key, that's when everything is fucked up. Like, everything's no good from that point on. All the rest of what you get is less interesting information than everything you've
and
gotten
even,
prior.
And even when they introduce the fact that there is this kind of something weird's going on, and the focus goes to away from the characters, you could have still mm-hmm. done that in a way that, like, revealed character better, I think. Because ultimately, like, if I had to choose something to be the explanation, I would have chose it to be nothing, and it's just people being paranoid. Like, that's a cool idea,
that would have been
a cool thing to explore, and, like, would have been interesting to see how these two characters, like, did that, like, they, you know, further cling to each other, like a Lost in Translation style thing, which is, like, a piece of media this reminded me of, where it's, like, two people,
absolutely,
like, come closer together because they are totally alone in this unusual situation. Mm-hmm. But the characterization just, like, drops, like, quite a bit. There's, like, so what happens, you're hanging around in the Firewatch, there's these girls that show up, and you scare them off, and they end up missing. So you think that maybe they've been murdered by somebody, and then you start finding these weird traces that you're being, and this actually, like, the feeling of paranoia that happened here worked for me, so this isn't a failure.
So good,
it's just the all the context around it.
Exactly,
somebody you find, like, a transcripts of your conversations you've had with her, with Delilah. You find evidence of somebody else in the park, essentially, and this fenced in area that might be part of, you know, a government, like, they're leaning real X-Files. Like a social experiment.
Yeah, it's some conspiracy, and at least the characters believe that the experiment might be them. Like, listening in on their conversation might be the experiment.
Yes.
And that's an awesome idea. I don't know. I was really hooked on this point. Like, everything up to this point felt really good, and then you actually end up getting knocked out when you discover the notes too that someone actually had. So you know they're for sure someone else in this park, but why they're keeping tabs on you, and what it's all about, why this fenced off area is there, are a complete mystery. So you start kind of following the trail of the getting into that fenced area. You kind of have to do a couple tasks and manage to get in there. And getting in there gives you a device that allows you to follow radio signals. It gives you kind of directional components as to how to trace a radio signal, much like the walkie-talkies you guys were using previously.
Mm-hmm.
And you use that to, oddly enough, for some fucking reason, find a backpack with a key in it that leads you to a door that was in a cave that you couldn't discover previously.
It's very gamey.
And it's very jarring how quickly that changes.
Yeah.
Like, why, like, I got this symbol, or this the signal tracer, and I can figure out who it is, where this person is who's been listening in on conversations. Instead, I find a backpack, and the backpack has a key to a door, to a cave. That's kind of interesting. Maybe he left the walkie-talkie in there. And then you get in the cave, and what you discover...
Well, here's the thing, is you don't discover it right away in kind of an annoying way. Yeah. You get, like, kicked out because they have to build up... Like, it's like they knew what was going to be at the other end of this equation, but they didn't... They needed to, like, plant the seeds to try to make you care about it. Because the thing that you find is a body
of a kid. Yeah.
And there's been a couple, like, little comments. This is a kid who stayed with... His father, who was a previous Firewatch guy, and mm-hmm. Delilah liked this kid a lot, and his dad was not a very good dad.
And he wasn't supposed to have a kid with
him. Yes, but she allowed it. So they're trying to build up that subplot a lot, and it really kicks in. Like, it's like, man, do you need to care about this kid? Holy shit! If the player doesn't care about this kid at this point, we're fucked. You know. So you start going to the cave, and you just do this little runaround where you get to see evidence of the kid, and then you find that the kid died there. And then the payoff is, like, Delilah is sad about, you know, or like she's questioning whether she should have called the authorities or what have you.
Right. She's blaming herself.
Yeah. You know, that's the idea, and the parallels there between the father and Henry are there, right? Like, taking care of something, you know, is a big part of this game. Like, him, you know, Henry being a bad husband by mm-hmm. abandoning his wife to go do this, or, you know, abandoning her and getting, he starts drinking and stuff all in the thing, and him not being mm-hmm. good to his son and his son being driven away and hurting himself. Like, there are parallels there, but it doesn't say much about it. Like, I don't know what that's supposed to add up to. And all of this time we're spending on this mystery that adds up to, like, and that's not even the final mystery. Like, you haven't even seen the final form of how stupid this gets, but the, all that stuff, like, it's just time we're not learning about these characters. And it's not like I'm shipping them. I don't need them to get together. I just, that was the compelling, that was the human, that was the thing. You know, that's the cool thing about this, the writing in this game, is that relationship. And they spent a lot of time building that up to, like, have zero payoff for it. Mm-hmm. Because I don't care about that kid. Like, there's so little to him. Like, he was, like, a dork, and his father was not very good, but I spent time with these other characters. You know, there's not, maybe if it had been longer, like, maybe if there was, if this was, like, an episodic game or something like that, there would have been a way to sell that relationship. But it's like the central focus. It's not just, like, a side plot that gets resolved. It is how the game ends too, because ultimately, following these clues, you find the kid's father, who has been living in a cave off the grid, spying on you
for, like, 2 years or something too.
What is that? What a misguided decision that is.
Yeah, and yeah, his excuse is that he's spying on you to basically cover up, and I don't think at any point they, like, heavily suggest that he actually did anything. Like, it seems like it was meant to be portrayed as an accident, mm-hmm. and the father's just so, like, he knew he wasn't supposed to have the kid out here, and he was so afraid of the consequences, I guess, that he just decided to live in the forest off the grid instead of telling anybody about his kid's accident.
The way you do. Right, like the way you just set up in a cave and start making a lot of sophisticated homemade radio equipment, like it's I don't need it to be an X-Files episode, but they replace something incredibly unlikely that would have been, like, hokey with something that's just stupid, you know, and it doesn't make any sense, and it's immensely unsatisfying. And then you just have to leave, and Delilah won't wait for you because she wants you to go to your wife, because the game, like, it's like, I feel like it's like they remembered, like, oh shit, like,
you have a wife.
That's what this is about. We have to go back to that. Like, did this little kid subplot come late? You know, like, it feels like, I don't know. I don't think it works at all on any level.
No,
I don't at all. You know, it is a narrative failure. and for a game that is about, like, and I know these guys can write a story,
right?
It's just, I just don't think that works. And it's such a focus for the back half of the game. And even when it's cool, even when it's paranoia, it's distracting from them actually building the bricks of, like, something that would have been more satisfying.
Well, I mean, I think I like the paranoia as sort of a, you know, the collective paranoia as a means of growing closer between the two characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I actually really like that as a device for you and Delilah growing together, because you guys are both super exposed and, like, really scared. And so, like, there's a lot of really personal conversations going on and stuff, and it's super character building. Like, it's really good up until that point, but then they drop relationship as a core, like, mm-hmm. point in the story right when everything gets good.
Yeah. It's really disappointing. Like, with how much I like the first half of this and how much like these types of games are in my wheelhouse, I was really expecting it to be like, just have like a theme, like be a little bit more cohesive as a thing. Yeah. And that just didn't happen. So it's like, it's not like I regret playing it. It's very beautiful. And it's, you know, the stuff that's good is really good. I wish the soundtrack didn't spend so much time just going between two chords, but like when it didn't do that, it was really good. But it just ended up like bumming me out, like too many red herrings too. It started feeling, like really conspicuous, like, oh, the girls, they might be murdered. And then the, there's a part where like, she asks you to go meet her at this tree and you have the choice to leave your wedding ring or not. Which the idea being like, oh, it's like, we're going to go fuck under this tree. but your character would know because you guys have been talking about this weird paranoia thing. And then it turns out not to be that. Like, that's actually a more interesting story. Like, it kept like doing these red herrings towards something that like was cool in favor of this plot that I didn't think worked at all. And like, that will vary. Yeah. Like, some people are going to be like, man, I feel really good or really bad about the cool Dungeons and Dragons kid that got killed in a cave. But it just,
yeah, if that worked on you, great. Yeah, if, like, sure.
Even if it worked on you, I don't think that you can make the argument that it has a strong connection to the rest of the story.
Right.
And that's what bums me out.
Yeah. I'll tell you, like, there was a very specific point in the game where I was almost disappointed that it didn't go the route I was hoping, at least it would continue more. Cause I was like, wow, this is, you know, this is all going to tie back to, his wife. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, I thought that, the mental illness bit was going to kind of play more of a thing. Like, at one point, Henry's on the radio scared for his life because someone had broken into his apartment. Mm-hmm. And he says to Delilah, am I going crazy?
Yeah.
Like I don't know. Like, am I losing my mind? And then that's it. And like, that's the end of exploration of mental illness entirely in the game. And I was like, fuck, you guys had such a good like ley line to this. It would have been such a good
exploration. That's a really cool parallel, this idea between him seeing things that aren't there and his wife seeing things that aren't there, except for that he's seeing things that are there, and it's a guy who decided to live in a cave for 2 years and build homemade high-tech instruments out of batteries and radio parts.
Yeah.
It's you know, too many red herrings and too much like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I'm supposed to feel tricked or whatever. Also, and this is the end, so the fire is going out of control, you're getting evacuated. This is something where the layout actually failed me, because that's supposed to be really intense, but it is very easy to go, like, not all paths will go to all places. So you can get to, like, getting lost on the way back to that thing is a real good way to suck any tension out of running for a helicopter. And that definitely happened to me, where, like, I just went down a path, it was a dead end, I had to backtrack and stuff, and you know, that navigation worked when it wasn't consequence based, but when it had some kind of sense of urgency to it, I don't think it did.
Well, I think they also failed in their positioning of where the cave of the dad was. Like, it needed to be, if you're going to make this time sensitive, you needed to make it essentially like a straight route.
It didn't need to be close, because you still need to have enough time to have the conversations that you're going to have on the way there.
Right.
But it needed to be not complicated.
And there's basically two ways to get there, and both of which are going down and around and then back up around a couple of things and then straight up, where if you had, like, I don't know, better positioning would have allowed you to actually feel a sense of urgency and continue along this line that you've traveled once before.
Yeah.
And they just didn't even bother.
Yeah. Yeah. They just,
I'm not sure. Something happened in the development of this game that took it from really had a ton of potential to them tearing things down for some reason.
It's like,
I'm not sure,
I don't want to, like, you know, this being, I don't want to say like Monday morning quarterback, like this could have been what they were intending to do the whole time. Like, it's not, it's just, I don't think this was worth doing.
Yeah. If that was what they intended, it was misguided, or maybe there was some better way of delivery of what they were trying for than they succeeded at. But in either case, like, what came out is a mishmash of two completely different feelings towards the game. For most players,
yeah, this, it didn't work the way that I think they wanted it to, and that bums me out, because I was enjoying it and wanted to continue enjoying it, and stopped enjoying it, and felt bad after I finished it. Like, I was like, that was pretty an orange, but does that not work for me?
And you know what, the Delilah ending portion too, after like after this non-sense of urgency running up there, is doesn't gain anything. Like, you explore her hut for a bit and she's like, yep, I'm not there, helicopter's coming, go see your wife. And like, I knew the game was over when I explored the dad's cave, but I didn't know it was that over.
Yeah.
Like, there was no reason for me to keep playing at that point.
What would have been a cool, if the story up to that point had been about their relationship, if we didn't spend the last 2 hours like getting distracted by this dumb subplot, then getting to the place where she was and kind of seeing this person that you only know through one imperfect facet, like through just her voice, and getting to explore them through their surroundings is actually a cool idea. Like, if she had like a maybe a bigger cabin or something where there could be more of that, because there's a little bit of that, but I just felt like distracted. Like, I was like, oh, am I like, you spent so much time trying to get me to care about the kid, and now while I'm trying to do that, you're trying to yank me back to Delilah.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I can only care about one thing, but like, it has to be, you know, it is the person who's writing a story's job to make the reader care. It's not my job to just give them the benefit of the doubt, you know, like, I'm going to like them. They're a person, you know, they're not real people. Like, they're fictional characters. You have to do more work than you would do in real life to get the reader or the player into something. And it wasn't focused enough for that.
I think, yeah, I would have really liked there to be, without all this distraction, like going to her place after all this time of, you know, not being distanced from her, not really being able to spend much time with her. It would have been a cool exploration of the character, but they put it at the end of a time sensitive portion.
There's no time limit. It just feels time sensitive.
The story is obviously urging you to get the hell out of there.
There's a sense of urgency to it that is.
And so is she.
Yeah.
She leads you on, even if you tell her to hang on, and she agrees to hang on and not go. And it's so weird. It's so weird.
It's because she would have looked like a freaking mutant. Like, because they would, she would have looked like a Ninja Turtles cartoon.
Ham-fists.
Yeah. She would have had gigantic fists and it would have been weird. You know, so they needed to not have other people in the story.
If they wanted a real twist, they should have put an actual TF2 character in the hut when you got there.
it would have made sense. Like, just like, that's the, you know, that's the art style.
But, like, whoops, Delilah was the pyro the whole time. Yeah.
Delilah, the pyro was kind of piloting the plane. But it's, I don't know. Bummed me out. I don't regret playing it, but it bummed me out.
Yeah. I hope they continue on and do some stuff.
Tweeted as such, because the game made them a lot of money. Which is good, you know, because I would like to see them try this again, but I don't think this is a very good game.
All right, two games that are pretty hit or miss, guys.
Yeah. So,
all right.
Anyway,
unfortunate. We've got more stuff coming up.
I think we're doing Talos and Superhot.
Okay. Yeah. Absolutely, I'm totally up for that. But we might not do all of the Talos DLC. I might save that for a second episode.
Yeah,
I'm
like several hours in Talos Principle, but it's a long game, so.
Okay,
and I would like to play it. So
I haven't even started.
Oh well,
so
then maybe we won't end up doing that because it is like a 20-hour game.
And I don't know. I can try and squeeze it out. I'm pretty interested, so I have a feeling it'll catch me.
So
it's only hard for me to put extra hours into games that aren't really hooking me. So
cool.
All right, guys, we will see you next time. Thanks for listening.
Bye.